Catherine Hammack is Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment, and here to discuss the energy security and sustainability strategy. Madam Secretary, thanks for continuing the conversation. Enjoyed having you on the program this morning. This strategy is different in a major way that we talked about on the air, and that is that it focuses on the why rather than the what. Explain what the difference is, as you did on the air, and then explain in a little more detail why you thought that was an important tack to take with this particular strategy. Thank you very much.
Glad to be here with you, Francis. And focusing on the why, when I found that when people understand the why, then they understand more the what and the how. But explaining the why it is important to them, why it is important to their mission, why it is important to the future of the U.S. Army and this nation, helps people then really get behind implementing the what. And so we have five whys. Why energy security and sustainability is important, and that starts with informed decisions, goes on to optimize use, assured access, building resiliency, and driving innovations. And those are the five whys behind the ES2 strategy.
And we'll focus on each of those in turn. But as you worked through the details of this strategy, how did you take the needs of the Army's mission and fold them or build them around the structure of these five goals that you wanted to achieve? Or what was the order that you took in order to determine these five goals and flesh them out?
Well, if you step back and you look at the challenges that the Army faces, they are pretty much fast-moving targets. We're in a changing environment. And if you look at global politics on energy and the challenges that we have had in delivering liquid fuels around the world, and even the fluctuations we've seen in electricity and natural gas markets in the United States, it is a variable that you have very little control over. So if you are informing your decisions, if you have the right information to make informed decisions, then they will be better decisions that will carry you through the fluctuations and a rapidly changing environment.
Within the first goal, informing decisions, the strategy says the Army will incorporate resource sustainability in plans and processes. And this, when I read that one, it jumped out at me for this reason. I don't see anything in the strategy that isn't something that you and I haven't talked about before. This strategy strikes me more as a codification of things that the Army is already doing and doing well in many cases, and also as kind of just a structure under which to bring all of these goals and make sure that all the stakeholders within the Army understand them. Is that a fair read on my part?
I think that is a fair read because it's designed to unify our energy and sustainability functions. And we have both the generating and the operating force. And so the operating force are the guys out on the front lines. The generating force is the work we do back in home station. And it's really bringing everything together in a very understandable way to position the missions that you do so that if you have the right tools and techniques and resources, then the mission will be enhanced. And so we really want people to understand why you need this so that it's much easier to implement the what and how.
And the why part of it strikes me that it makes it easier to execute another portion of this goal, which is to educate, train personnel across the enterprise. I imagine with the education and training component, there is always going to be a group of people who says, well, this is just the green crowd and the tree huggers want us to do this and that and the other thing, where if you're educating them regarding the why, how this contributes to mission, you can overcome a lot of those objections, I guess.
It was fascinating. I was down at Fort Lee and watching a very young group of soldiers, and they were in the 18 to 20-year-old range, and they were having a challenge. You had a generator with so much generating capacity, and here are 15 things that you might want to plug in. Now, I think as a child, you learn that there's an electrical outlet, you plug it in and it works. Mm-hmm. Well, as a soldier, you have limited amounts of power. If they plugged in all 15 or 20 of those pieces of equipment, they would overload it and trip out. And so what you need to do is understand how much energy everything uses and what impact it has so that you can make smart decisions. And it was interesting to see them on a whiteboard adding up how much energy a coffee maker and a printer and the copy machine and six laptops consumed so that they could see whether they'd have enough power to do their mission.
The second goal in your strategy is optimizing use. And as I read through this again, there are elements here of efforts that I've seen before. But it also strikes me this goes far beyond just let's make sure that we're using as little as we have. It's not just a conservation component to this one.
Absolutely, it is not. And it's increasing resource efficiency at the same time you're decreasing resource demand. It's if you look at your energy and your water systems, you know, your water systems use energy. So you sort of, when you think through this, you want water when you turn on the tap and you want energy when you flip the switch. But you can utilize technology. And by the way, you can turn off the switch when you leave or turn off the water faucet when you're finished brushing your teeth or while you're brushing your teeth. You can think about how you use that energy, how you use that water to ensure that you have enough for those critical missions. It's an analogy someone gave me to a sniper. You can give a sniper a whole lot of munitions and they can have a machine gun and hope they hit their target, or they can hit their target with one bullet. You're not saying conserve bullets. You're actually saying hit the target.
Mm-hmm.
The same analogy can be used in energy and water consumption, is use what you need so it's there when you need it.
How much of this has been a culture shift or a change in thinking for people in the Army, and how much of it has been strategy and policy and operational tactical changes?
I think the people on installations and those who are deployed really get it. And it's interesting when we look at water. Water's a big issue in California now, where they're facing drought issues. And we're seeing that come through our grocery store as you see rising prices of vegetables and fruits. So water conservation there really has come home. And what we're doing on base is lessons learned that they can take home and really think about the environment and think about future generations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do, is enable future generations to have the same kind of choice in resources that we do now.
The third goal in your strategy is assuring access. What kind of access are you talking about here? And what kinds of maybe lacks of assurance are you concerned about for the future?
About 5 years ago, maybe it was 4 years ago, one of our bases was shut down for 5 days. And that's because a tornado came through and it cut the single power line going into the base. Assured access means that you might want to have two power lines coming into the base. We had another base that its water was shut down, and we had to close parts of the base because a backhoe off base nicked a water pipeline. Well, assured access would have been, there are some wells on site that we can use as a backup, and we have other choices. Assured access means that we can do the mission this nation asks of us when we're facing emergencies or for humanitarian issues. And it could be a Superstorm Sandy. It could be wildfires on the West Coast. The bases become a stationing point, a gathering point, because we have assured access through a diversity of power and water choices to ensure that the mission can continue to function.
So it sounds like it's partially redundancy, but not just redundancy.
Yes, it's not redundancy for redundancy's
sure.
sake. It's ensuring that you have access so that the mission can continue.
One of the subtexts there is maximizing flexibility in system design and use. That strikes me that could also be a cultural issue where people would be it would be easy for folks to fall into the, well, we've always done it this way, or this has always worked that way before, and some resistance there. Are you seeing that at all?
You know, the Army is a young Army. So if you think of the majority of our force is in the 18 to 26-year-old group.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that the generation that comes behind you and I, Francis, is
well behind me.
Yeah, it's much more attuned to the resource conservation, and they understand it. And so we're not looking to inhibit their mission or inhibit their activities. We're ensuring that they can do more with less.
This one is interesting, too, because the third achievement that you're looking for seems to spring from the other two under the assuring access. You write about diversifying and expanding resource supply. We've talked about maximizing flexibility and system design. And it seems to me as a result of those two, you get the third one, which is reducing vulnerability and risk.
But then you have microgrids and power distribution that you handle on base so you can know where the power is going, when it's going there. The traditional design puts one generator behind each major building. A microgrid ties them all together so that if one generator's down, you can use power from another one. So you've reduced your vulnerability and risk there.
So I did a little exercise during our radio interview. I stuck a dollar bill aside on this little stack here every time you use the word resilient or resiliency, and I'm going to be able to stay in a very fancy hotel this weekend with the money that I've put aside. This is goal four, building resiliency. You use that word a lot. It's one of your goals, and I hear it not just from the Army. I hear it from the other branches. I hear it from the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, retired now. This is part of the discussion regarding readiness. Why is this concept so important to you, ma'am?
Because we are facing so many disruptions to our availability of energy, of water. Right now, we're facing a disruption in our budgets. We want to ensure that we are resilient and we can weather through the various disruptions. And you know, October being energy action today is resiliency tomorrow. Really focus on enabling the Army for the long term, not just the short term, but enabling the mission for the long term for future generations.
So within this particular goal, the fourth in the energy security and sustainability strategy, the strategy says the Army will maintain continuity of operation. I think the desire there is obvious. The second one is fostering adaptability. What's adaptability look like within the context of the Army, given the diversity of places that you deploy and places that you operate on an ongoing basis?
Well, it's interesting. We talk about climate change mitigation and climate change adaptation. And the FY16 budget that's on the Hill for military construction, half of those projects are climate change adaptation, where we have recognized that a building has been flooded so many times that we're going to have to build it up higher and further away from a shoreline so that we can adapt to the current situation and that we are more resilient for the future. We have a pier where the salinity of the water is changing with the rising water levels, and a pier built for fresh water is now seeing salinated water and the mussels and the that are attacking the pier. Mm-hmm. And we have a wastewater treatment plant that in high water levels has flooded several times and unfortunately, just like the commercial water plants along the river, has discharged effluent into the river. And that's not something we want to see. So for resiliency, we need to build it up higher and further away. So we're doing military construction for climate change adaptability so that we can be more resilient for the long term.
Within this goal, you're also fostering, in addition to fostering adaptability, adapting to uncertain changing conditions. It strikes me that's something the Army has been doing for, what, how long's the Army been in existence? 200 and some years?
Absolutely.
What does that look like, though, in an energy policy and strategy construct?
Well, the uncertain and changing conditions are back to the whole power and water and land situations that we are facing. So one of our bases is facing a 26% increase in electricity costs. That's going to make it difficult to run that operation. But if we put renewable energy out there, which is not as susceptible to changing fuel costs, Therefore, we will be more resilient and we are adapting to a situation that we see that's outside of our control. So we are looking at a combination of efforts. And you're right in a way that we have done some of these things in the past. This is explaining why, mm-hmm. back to the why.
Yep.
People have seen the what we do, but explaining to them why we're doing that helps the military members and the civilians as well understand the critical mission we have.
The fifth goal is driving innovation, and innovation is one of the most popular concepts in government right now. Through the whole more with less effort that the budget and fiscal realities are driving. What's the role of innovation for the Army regarding energy security and sustainability, and where do you want to see that innovation come from?
Well, it's going to come from inside and outside sources. We are collaborating right now with the private sector. We're collaborating with small business. We're collaborating with large business and industry to try and bring together the best and brightest minds to figure out what kind of innovative solutions can help us all in the future. And some of the things we're doing do have a lot of application in the private sector. So it's not only beneficial for the military, but it's beneficial for the private sector too.
Leveraging expertise then comes from all of those areas that you just mentioned. That's the first point under this goal. Also expanding collaboration. You and I have spoken in the past about a number of public-private partnerships that the Army's engaged in. What are some of the most promising ones, do you think, in the coming 5 to 10 years?
Well, it's fascinating. We're running the network integration event out at Fort Bliss. This is 16.1, and we have a net zero base camp there where we have invited in industry to help us bring together, collaborate together on techniques and technologies to enable base camp operation. I think some of the most interesting things are some of the wireless recharging, some of the solar innovation, some of the kinetic energy, because our soldiers are quite often dismounted. And as they're dismounted and walking, if we can harvest kinetic energy from every step of the boot, from something in the boot heel to the tug of the backpack as you march along to the bending of the knee, each one of those has the ability to harvest kinetic energy that can then be used to recharge systems. And then when the soldier gets close to a vehicle, gets close to a base camp, if you have wireless recharging, then the systems recharge themselves without having to be disconnected.
This is like science fiction stuff.
Oh, no, it's not science fiction. It's reality.
But right. But that's what's fascinating about it is it sounds like the stuff that we would have read 10 years ago even and said, wow, that's going to happen 50 years from now, and it's happening today.
And that's the fun part of my job is I get to see it and I get to test it and I get to talk to those guys who are bringing that science fiction to reality.
You've got a segment in your strategy that is titled Governance and Performance. And that brings me to where I want to wrap up, which is how will you measure the success of this strategy? How will you know that you're hitting all of these goals that you've laid out for yourselves?
As a partner to this, there is a series of metrics of what we want to achieve in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, so that everybody can track progress. And so we can see where there's areas that might require a little more attention. When we talk about resiliency and when we talk about fostering adaptability and some of the things we're doing in renewable energy, one of the ways we track and monitor that is by the number of renewable energy projects and the amount of renewable energy we're installing. So partner to this is a metric to have 1 gigawatt of renewable energy installed on our bases by 2025. And so we are tracking and monitoring over a 10-year period. That's about 100 megawatts a year. This year, we've broken ground on 125 megawatts. So we are managing that process and measuring our success.
We've covered a lot of ground on the energy security and sustainability strategy, Madam Secretary. What else should people know about it?
That it is really a tool and guidance that's not only valuable to the Army, But I think it's worthwhile to industry. So I talked to some sustainability officials at about 17 different major corporations a couple of months ago about the strategy. And quite a few of them came up and asked for a copy of it and said, you know, this is something that we could use for our company and for our industry, because it really explains the why. Mm-hmm. And I'm an engineer. And as an engineer, we want to talk about the what we're doing and how we're doing it. And we forget that not everybody else are engineers. And so we need to explain to everybody else why it is important for all of us to embrace and enhance and focus in this area.
Well, congratulations on its release. And I thank you very, very much for your generous gift of time today to talk about it.
Thank you very much, Francis. Wonderful to see you.